This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 22, 2014, the first Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can occasionally get pretty theologically heavy when people ask you, well, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to go to heaven? The question is posed to the apostles. St. Peter responds, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. So that's something that you have to do to be saved. There's something else that we need to do to be saved that is an indispensable condition of eternal salvation. Indispensable condition. You have to do this to be saved, not because I'm some kind of hard case standing here, but because that's what our Lord Jesus Christ says. I repeat his words. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that a public confession of faith in him, whatever the consequences may be, is an indispensable condition of salvation. You saying I have to confess? Yes. I don't say it. He says it. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father. It's interesting. You know, we have four Gospels, three Synoptics, and the Synoptics are the ones that are basically primarily focused upon Jesus' historical ministry. John is sort of an animal in and of itself, in that it's very, very spiritual and very, very mystical. But the other three, the Synoptic Gospels, they really emphasize what Jesus said and did, what he preached. It's interesting that generally you'll have many incidents that are in one of the Gospels. You have a couple that are very important that you see in two. There are a very limited amount that you see in all three Synoptic Gospels. All three Synoptic Gospels have this proclamation of our Lord. Got to pay attention to it. It's in all three. It's in Luke chapter 9, also in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 is a little bit even more pointed. Our Lord says, and I quote, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed. You have to confess your Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You have to proclaim it. And it doesn't... Don't shut down on me and think, oh, I'm saying you need to go out and hand pamphlets out on the sidewalk or knock on people's doors and bother them like that. No, that's not what he's talking about is living your faith, letting people know that you are Catholic. I pointed out time and time again, that it should be gut-wrenching for you. It should be devastating for you if someone looks at you and goes, particularly somebody you've known for a while, I didn't know you were a Catholic. That should devastate you that they don't know you're a Catholic. You have to let them know you're a Catholic. That's what our Lord says. How you react to Jesus Christ will determine your future destiny. You cannot mince words for what he says. You can't explain it away. How you react to what he says will determine your future destiny, and that is confession or denial of him. Confession or denial. The Gospels, even the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul in Romans. Romans chapter 10, I quote again, man believes with his heart, and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips, and so is saved. You believe in your heart, you're justified, not and also, or if, and confess with your lips, you will be saved. It's a necessity. This proclamation, this acknowledgement of Christ. You have to do it. Again, there's no question. It's just a necessity. It's a necessity for your eternal salvation. Bottom line. When we look at the saints, the great saint, yesterday, for instance, yesterday was St. Aloysius Gonzaga, a Jesuit novice, died when he was in the early months of his 24th year. St. Aloysius is known as a confessor. It doesn't mean people went to confess. He wasn't in holy orders yet. He was on his way. St. Aloysius was a confessor just like many other great saints are confessors. A lot of people say, they come to church, okay, it's this saint's day, it's that saint's day. Saints are a saint because of something. You have martyr saints. You have popes who are saints. You have, you know, virgins who are saints. Confessors are a whole different category of saints, and there are more of them than any others, because more people are called to confess than are called to be martyrs, for instance. St. Aloysius, he gave his life in his confession. How he gave his life was that there was a ward in a hospital where everybody in that ward, for all intent and purposes, died. He was put in there because they had a fever, and they knew they were going to die because of the type of sickness that they had, and he went in. He was not a doctor. He was not a nurse. He went in there to share Christ with them because he knew they were going to die. He knew they were going to die, and he knew of the utmost importance that they needed to know Christ. So he went in there and confessed them, and guess what? He caught the fever, and he died. He gave his life for his confession. A lot of people, you give those kind of stories, and they shut down. They go, oh, you know, okay, he's a saint. I'm not a saint. It was hundreds of years ago. That's, you know, too ethereal for me to... Guess what? If you go out, when you're leaving the narthex today, I hope there's still some out there, I burned off a bunch of copies of the title on it is Carly's Vocation Column. Her grandparents are regular attenders at the 8 o'clock Mass. Carly is a college graduate. She's got everything going for her that this world loves, and she is on her way within the next few weeks to a cloister in the northern part of the United States. She's going to be a cloistered nun. For all intent and purposes, she's saying bye to her family for, again, all intent and purposes for the rest of her life. She is somebody that is alive here and now, whose grandparents go to this church, who is turning her back on the things of this world. She is truly confessing her faith. Now, again, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to a cloister. But, well, most of us are not called to do that. Most of us are not. But I would submit to you that all of you are called, all of you are commanded to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge him to the people in this world, not just to other Catholics. Well, I like to go to these Catholic Bible studies. We talk about Jesus all the time. That's not what our Lord's talking about. Notice again in Mark, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, an adulterous and sinful generation. Nothing is new under the sun. It was the same back then as it is now. People don't like to hear about Christ. They deny Christ. They get mad. Heck, in a bunch of different places in this world, you can get killed for proclaiming Christ. Guess what? There is no caveat on there that says anything about, well, if you're afraid or if you're in danger for something, then you don't have to do it. It says that whoever is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him. Again, that's not me saying that. That's our Lord. So you have to kind of, you know, are you living that? You know, I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying that's why we do what we do as Catholics. That's what we're supposed to do. That is a mandate of being a Catholic. It's a scriptural mandate. It's a divine mandate. It is a mandate of the Church. Jesus Christ must be acknowledged in God's manner, not in man's. Now, I know a lot of folks. A lot of folks. I don't talk about it too much. I don't wear this. I don't have this on my, you know, house or anything. You know, that's just a personal thing. God searches my heart. And he knows. He knows my thoughts, so he knows. Obviously, that's not enough, according to the Holy Spirit. Man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and is saved. It is of absolute necessity to confess our Lord, to acknowledge him. Again, in your own, to wherever you are called in life, but to do it. But that's confession, denial. I've never denied him. You can deny him in many different ways. Again, I just throw this out. You can deny him in thought, yeah, I go to church because, you know, my mom and dad are getting older and they get mad when I don't go to church, so I just go there. You know, you can play the game, you can come in here and say all the words and do all the stuff, but guess what? You're denying him in your thoughts. You're denying him in your heart. There are many out there who deny him in word. Oh, I know so-and-so. I love them to death. They're my best friend, but they are a fill-in-the-blank. I know they deny Jesus, but they're okay. Because they believe in God and they do all this other stuff like that. Guess what? If you care one lick about that person, if you care at all for that person, you will not let them remain like that. You will not deny your Savior before them by your omission of words. Because that in and of itself is a denial. That if you deny him, he will deny you. So if you care anything about that person, and if you care anything about your own eternal salvation, you will not keep your mouth shut around those people because you will be afraid of offending them. We hear a lot in our day and age, and again, a lot of it is skewed and a lot of it is misrepresented, even from within the church, on this whole concept of religious liberty. Okay? Religious liberty, different subject for a different day, but guess what? Whatever it means, it cannot mean keeping quiet about Jesus Christ. Because God says you cannot be quiet about Jesus Christ because it is a denial of him. So again, whatever religious liberty is, you know, it does not mean that you keep your mouth shut around people who deny Christ. No matter what they are, no matter what religion they are. Because, well, you know, I don't want to offend them. I'm afraid of offending them. But like I said, there are a lot of parts in the world, well, guess what? You'll get killed for confessing Christ. You're not allowed to be afraid of that either. In that gospel passage, and it's not lengthy, three different times, three, our Lord says, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear persecutors. Do not fear those who can kill your body. Do not fear because you are of so much value to your Father. You cannot be fearful of that. Notice I didn't say you're not going to be embarrassed. You're not going to have people argue with you. You're not going to have people belligerent. And if you go to some parts of the world, you could get killed. I didn't say it can't happen. I said that our Lord says don't fear that. Don't fear that. You just do what you're supposed to do because if you acknowledge him, he is going to acknowledge you before his Father. It is our duty to Jesus Christ. It is a solemn duty to acknowledge him. You look at that and you think about it. That is so sanitized. Picture a guy nailed to a couple pieces of wood hanging there for hours after being beaten within 3/4 of an inch of his life. Why people are still making fun of him, why he hangs there. And he did that for you. Can you be ignorant to the extent of his favors toward you because he did that for you? And can you not acknowledge the duty? Just our membership in the church, availing of ourselves of the sacrament, the Eucharist, you take divinity within yourself, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. You take that within yourself. Confession. Confession, no matter what you do, no matter how horrible it is, no matter how many times you do it, you can walk into a confessional and you can be absolved in minutes. Clean slate, like it never happened, ever. You have those things going for you. You know, what's the extent of his blessing to it? You come to church and you learn his will and his law, not because he's some kind of cosmic killjoy, because he knows that that's for your betterment. He knows you will have a better life here if you live according to his will and according to his law. And if you know his will and his law, how much should we acknowledge him for what he has done for us? He demands you acknowledge him. He demands you acknowledge him, but if you don't want to get theological, you know, look at that, and if you don't acknowledge him, that's just plain rude. Somebody does something like that for you and you don't acknowledge it? Again, it's just human perspectives. It's just bad form. It's just rude. The words that our Lord speaks that we said, it's the Alleluia verse that was sung before the gospel reading today. I'll leave you with this because it's very succinct and it makes my point. The Spirit of the truth will bear witness to me. says the Lord, and you also are my witnesses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.